Chapter 28. The waves were moving in irregular patterns across the North Sea, small, high, white horses clashing in fast rucks, whipped up by submerged obstacles. The North Sea Farm Company wasn't as big as Listowel. There were only 100 developed fields so far, but the water fruit it harvested raised a much higher price than krill, and tasted one hell of a lot better, Victor reckoned. But then, what didn't? Water fruit globes resembled pumpkins, a thick, wrinkled yellow-brown rind enclosing an almost apple-like flesh. Victor always thought of them as tasting like salty melons, but they were protein-rich and popular throughout Europe. New varieties were introduced each year as the geneticists refined them. They had developed into quite an important industry. Most countries had plantations dotted around their coasts, and the shallower southern half of the North Sea, with its warmth and low salinity, provided excellent growing conditions. Julia had started the North Sea Farm Company 12 years earlier, assisted by a large Ministry of Fisheries grant. The division wasn't as large as some of the food combine farms which had sprung up in the North Sea, but it was turning in a reasonable profit now. When the nodes squirted a profile of the farm into his mind, he'd seen the organization was top-heavy with research personnel, and a lot of the fields were experimenting with new techniques. Julia covering her options again, he suspected. It would have been precisely those research facilities which attracted Royan. The station's genetics laboratories were equipped to handle very sophisticated gene-tailoring operations. Victor could make out the fields below the surface as the Pegasus began its approach run. Kilometer-long walls of brick-red gene-tailored coral formed a broad chessboard of squares. New walls were growing out from the edges, a tracery of spindly lines probing the stark sand. The colours of the waterfruit crops planted inside the walls ran through every shade of brown. There were various towers and platforms protruding from the water at regular intervals. Some he recognised as 20th-century oil platforms, waste not, want not. But the majority of structures were built up from the same concrete sections as the thermal generator platforms at Listowel, mass-produced by Event Horizon's yards on the Tyne. Cargo ships were docked with the platforms, loading up. Squat, heavily laden barges criss-crossed the fields. Small, bright yellow submarines were visible underwater. The Pegasus landed on one of the concrete platforms, and Victor trotted down the belly hatch stairs. Elliot Hayden, the farm's director, was waiting for him, dressed in navy blue shorts and a baseball cap, with the Event Horizon triangle and Flying V logo on the peak. Victor accessed his personnel profile. 47 years old, graduated from Norwich University with a marine biology degree, been with the company 19 years, appointed as a divisional director 5 years ago, largely credited with making the farm a profitable concern. Another of those smoothly professional Event Horizon premier grade executives. He wondered if Julia classed him in the same category. Probably. Elliot Hayden shook Victor's hand in a warm, dry grip. Mr. Tayo, not often we get a visit from your office?
Judy Tobandi is a good officer, he said. The farm's never been a problem from a security point of view. If people have their finger on the pulse, don't interfere, I say.
Elliot Hayden smiled, showing 4 solid gold teeth.
Well now, how about that? Enlightened administration, and at the highest level, too. You must have slipped through the personnel catchment net. What can I do for you?
I'm chasing after Royan. Do you know him?
Yes, of course. But I'm afraid you're too late if you want to talk to him. He left us 3 weeks ago. Didn't you check with our management corps?
That's part of my problem. We did check. There's no record of him at all.
What?
It's rather complicated, but he's covering his tracks very thoroughly. Can you tell me what he was doing here?
Yes, he was researching coral genetics, trying to improve mineral absorption rates. A flicker of unease darkened Elliot Hayden's broad, sunny face. Well, that's what he said. It was a temporary posting, of course. We get quite a few scientists visiting from other farms and national marine institutes. Now the first rush of competition is easing off, we all find cooperation helpful.
Did you assign Royan a genetics laboratory?
Yes. He wanted one for himself. It's a bit unusual, but his authority rating entitled him. There were a few complaints when we reshuffled.
What happened afterwards?
After what?
After he left. Was there any equipment he left behind? Who moved into the laboratory? What happened to his research subjects?
Elliot Hayden pulled his cyberfax out of his shorts pocket and asked it a couple of questions. He consulted the screen, then gave Victor a thoughtful look. "According to our records, his lab is still unoccupied. That isn't right at all. Lab space is at a premium in this station. The management corps are programmed to reassign it as soon as it became available again." Victor had been expecting something like it, resentful of the way he was being led about like a cyborg.
"I'd like to see it, please."
The little cylindrical submarine had a transparent hemispherical nose. Victor sat beside Elliot Hayden in the front as the farm director piloted them away from the platform, using a steering wheel which could have come from a car. It was designed to ferry 20 people down to the farm's main underwater station, but there was only him and his bodyguard on board. The water was surprisingly clean. Elliot Hayden explained that the water fruit itself was responsible, its matted root system holding down the sand. A variety Event Horizon's geneticists had developed. Ripe globes of fruit hung a meter above the seabed, suspended on a twisted ropey cord, like a squadron of tethered balloons. They were swinging rhythmically in the slow pulse of currents. 30 Frankenstein dolphins, with long, dexterous flippers, swam among the rows. He watched one wriggle underneath a waterfruit, its powerful snout cutting clean through the cord. It gripped the globe with its flippers and carried it to a big net bag at the end of the field, dropping it through the open neck with the accuracy and panache of a basketball player. The main station loomed beyond the fields, a fat, yellow-painted saucer 60 meters in diameter, with portholes round the rim. It stood 15 meters off the seabed on 3 sturdy cylindrical legs. Elliot Hayden steered the sub underneath it, manoeuvring up to an airlock set in the keel. They docked with a loud clunk. Pumps started to whir.
"We keep the station's internal pressure at 1 atmosphere, Elliot Hayden said, as he ran the power-down program through the sub's control wire. "That way, once we're docked, we stay docked, opposite of spacecraft."
"What exactly goes on in this station?" Victor asked.
Elliot Hayden stood up and walked back down the sub to the airlock set in the ceiling. He checked the seal display before starting to turn the lock wheel.
"Some practical work, investigating seabed growing techniques, methods of harvesting. Several of the food combine farms use drones to pick the water fruit. We found the Frankenstein dolphins are just as efficient. But mainly it's a genetics research facility. We improve the water fruit species, modify fish. One team is working on coral. We wanted to give the field reefs small caves like Swiss cheese, so we could breed crustaceans in them. The pilot scheme is quite successful."
The circular airlock opened with a hissing sound. A small shower of water sprinkled down on Elliot Hayden's head. He started to climb up the metal ladder. The laboratory was GD7, a rectangular chamber on the edge of the station. 3 portholes looked out over the fields and reefs, some chemical aspect of the thick material turning them a deep blue-green. Fans of jade light poured in, dancing across the white-topped benches which ran along the wall. GD7 appeared to be a standard setup. The benches were crowded with specialist terminals and composite equipment modules, long crystalline glassware arrays and culture vats. A rack of empty aquariums stood along the back wall. There was a section given over to an electron microscope. All of it was clean, unused, switched off, waiting, Victor thought. Kylie was resting on a pedestal in the center. An octagonal framework 2 meters in diameter, 0.5 meters high, its side panels covered in crumbling gray thermal particle protection foam. Thimble-sized cold gas thruster nozzles poked out above the foam, along with 3 sets of Star Tracker sensors, a couple of slim conical omnidirectional antennas, tarnished silver electrical umbilical sockets, and an interface key. 7 corners sprouted a square dull copper thermal radiator fin. The 8th had a long grapple pin for the remote manipulator arm on Newton's apple to grab during retrieval. A meter-high truss structure on top had held the probe's collection flask. It was empty now, mounting points trailing a spaghetti tangle of severed power lines and fiber-optic cable. Above that was the communication dish, a gossamer-thin umbrella of silver foil, badly crumpled and torn. Victor looked round and saw the collection flask on one of the benches, a titanium rugby ball, split into 2 halves, empty. There was a plain white card resting against it. He picked it up. "I'll bet it's you, Victor." The handwriting was Royan's. He crumpled it into a tight ball. It was a superbly equipped lab. What had Royan done here?
"What is this thing?"
Elliot Hayden asked. He was walking cautiously round Kylie, staring.
"A space probe?"
"Yes. A Jupiter sample return."
"Gods, what's it doing here?"
"That's a bloody good question."
Open channel to Julia Evans, NN Corps.
"I've found Kylie, or at least what's left of it."
"Great, where?"
"It's in the farm's main underwater station, Laboratory GD7. That's a genetics lab. But there's nothing else left. He's cleaned it out."
"Hang on, I'll access that lab's memory cores again. They've already been reviewed once."
Victor thought he detected a hint of resentment in the soundless voice.
"When Royan left, what did he take with him? Can you remember?" he asked.
Elliot Hayden was still looking at Kylie, left hand stroking one of the thermal radiator panels.
"Just a standard air cargo pod."
He brought his hand away, rubbing his fingers together.
"Oh, and a plant. Funny-looking thing, like a cross between a cacti and a palm. He was carrying it when he got on the plane, that's why I remember."
Victor felt a tingle of alarm.
"Was it flowering?"
"Was it?"
Elliot Hayden trailed off into uncertain bemusement.
"Flowering? Did it have any flowers?"
"I don't think so, no."
"I still can't locate anything, Victor," NN Corps 1 said. He turned a full circle. The personality package had to be here. Royan would expect him to work it out, to come in and see the obvious. Start with the basics, he told himself. A data construct has to be stored in where. And it has to be obvious. Royan wasn't hiding anything. They were supposed to be warnings. A location proof against accidental discovery, but not obscure. He wanted Greg and his intuition here in the lab. Greg would have seen it straight off. Victor turned slowly and looked at Kylie. The tiny glass eye of the interface key stared back at him. He pulled his cyberfax out of his inside jacket pocket and held it up.